Thank you much for being here tonight. We appreciate your presence. We've had good crowds every night. We got one more night. Please come back. Bring a friend or a loved one with you. Now, if you're seated somewhere where you cannot see the screen very well, feel free to move. Now, you're talking about moving. I got 30-some-odd charts to present. So I'm going to be speaking in a hurry. You be listening in a hurry. All right? Because we've got to turn it on. Because we want to leave some time at the end for the questions. And those of you who are watching by internet, thank you much for doing that. Well, Wesley, turn it on. We're going to be talking about the one true church. Now, you see all these churches round about us. The Bible knows nothing about them. The Bible knows only about the church that Jesus Christ established. Notice, when we look at the one true church, in Ephesians 1, 22, 23, the Bible says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church," watch it, "which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." How in the world can Christ in heaven govern you and me and we're on earth? You know how he does it? Through his last will and testament. And we got to be in the body of Christ doing what he wants us to do. Now here is the denominational concept. I want you to look at it. They have this big circle that now takes in 47,000 different bodies, all divided, fighting with one another, all of them claiming to be part of the church. Now, friends, this is just as wrong and unscriptural as it can be. Here's the truth. There's one church. And all members must be in Christ, in his body, as we read a moment ago. Notice, the religious world would have you believe there's one head and many bodies. What would you think if you were downtown West Jefferson and you saw a man walking down the street with 15 bodies but only one head? You'd know something is wrong. Now, we got to go to the Bible to determine truth. You remember that circle I showed you a moment ago with all those religious bodies in it? Division is wrong. Listen to the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 1:10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment." And that applies to the body of Christ too. We got people out here in the body of Christ teaching ungodly doctrines where they're going to answer to God for it. We got people that will fellowship those in the religious world, those teaching error on marriage, divorce, remarriage, those who will not take a stand for anything, and they believe they're on God's side. They're deceiving themselves, even if they're in the body of Christ. By the way, let me back up. You know who that verse was given to? The church. They were divided at Corinth. And so Paul got on to them. Now, notice the one true church, as I mentioned a moment ago, is comprised of many members, but in one body. In Romans 12:4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or function." And so your talent is important. Mine is. We don't have the same ability, but we are many members in one body. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For as the body is one," notice the number, "and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Just one body. in 1 Corinthians 12:20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And so we're promoting the concept that Jesus promoted, that the Holy Spirit promoted, that God promoted. There's only one church. Now, you know, the Bible warned that many false Christs would arise. Jesus warned his disciples. In Matthew 24:5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Then in Matthew 24:23, "But if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." You know, Josephus, a historian during this time, said that many people arose claiming to be the Christ. You know, Jim Jones claimed to be the Messiah, the Christ. And look what happened over in Guyana. Charles Manson claimed to be the Christ. Others in our day and time have claimed to be the Christ. Okay, I want you to notice something. How in the world are we going to determine who is the Christ and who is not? Number one, you check out his teachings to see if they're authoritative, if he claims to be inspired. Then look at his life. The Bible says Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You show me a man upon the face of the earth that can live up to that. No one. Then his fulfillment of prophecy. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, and then the prophet is named. Then his miraculous ability. In John 3:1-5, you know what Nicodemus said to Jesus? "No man can do the things that thou doest except God be with him." And that's exactly right. Then his Father's approval. When he is baptized, a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17:5, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Can you not see that Jesus Christ was unique and had all of the identifying characteristics of being the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Nobody else can live up to that. Well, let's suppose I'm going to the airport and Kay and I are going out of town for a couple of months and we're flying out. Well, I drove my car there, but I don't want to leave it there for 2 months and have to pay for having my car parked at the airport. So I say to Gary and Deborah, "Will you pick it up for us, please?" "Well, we don't know what your car looks like." I said, "Well, here's what it is. It's a 1999 Chevrolet Lumina. It's maroon. The license tag number is 46743DD, Carter County. It has a handicap tag. It has window guards. And when you get my age, you put your name on the driver's window so when you go out, you know it's your car. And if you'll go out there and look right now, you'll see my name on one side and Kay's on the other." That worked out great today because she came out of the store down in West Jefferson in two cars just alike, parked there, and she is trying to figure out which one she ought to put that package in. You know, well, when she saw our names, she knew. So Gary and Deborah take off to the airport, and Gary says, "There it is." Deborah said, "He said it was a car, not a truck. We're looking for identifying characteristics." And then, "Oh, there it is," Gary says. "Well, that's a car, but it's not a Chevrolet." And they go on down a little bit further. "Ah, there it is. Now, you're going to see that looks just like the car I owned back then." Just exactly. Satan is smart, folks. He sets up churches that talk about God, that talks about going to heaven, but they will not do it God's way. You know, I used to play baseball, wanted to be a Major League Baseball player, and we didn't care how many runners you got to third base. We didn't care, as long as they did not step on home plate. The devil don't mind you believing in God. He doesn't mind you carrying the good old KJV around. He doesn't mind you talking about heaven, but don't do the Father's will completely. And he's got you. Now that's close. I read in the newspaper where a 75, 80-year-old woman came out of Walmart and four teenagers sitting in her car. They were going to steal it. She was a pistol-packing mama. She went in that purse and pulled that gun out and said, "Y'all better get out of my car." Boy, they took off running. And she got in the car and tried to start it. It wasn't her car. She ran those boys out of their own car. See, it looked like the real thing, but it wasn't. And that's the way Satan's doing with all these churches. Well, they finally go in the parking lot, and they find a 1999 Lumina. I'm sorry you can't see it, but right there, Wesley's written on the window. And they see that. Boy, that's clue one. Identifying characteristic. There's the window guards. Boy, I love those things. Don't have them on my car, but I want to get them. Then I want. They look at the tag number, and they got it written down, and that's the right tag number. Now, before they ever stick the key in the door, you know what? They know it's going to open. They know it. Because it's got all of the identifying characteristics. Well, the true church has identifying characteristics. Just as Christ planned it, it's set up a certain way. And if you're going to be in the right church, it's got to meet the identifying characteristics. It's got to have the right builder. Who started the church you're in? I used to be in one that had its origin in Cleveland, Tennessee. That's the wrong place. Now look at Matthew 16, 18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now listen to me, folks, and I ask people this on a rise to truth. Is the Lord's church here on the face of the earth anywhere separate and apart from man-made doctrines? Or has Satan beat the tar out of Jesus Christ? You know, when you go back and read Daniel 2:44, the Lord's church, our kingdom, was going to be an everlasting kingdom. Now here it even says the gates of hell couldn't prevail against it. That's the Hadean world. That's when he died. He's saying, Satan can't keep me in the grave. I will burst the bars of Hades. I will come forth, and I will establish my church. See, the devil couldn't whip him in death, and the devil can't whip him now. The Lord's church is alive. It's well. And you and I are privileged to be members of it. Now, it's got to start at the right place and the right time. And that's from Jerusalem. If you look at the verses in Isaiah 2:2-3, "And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass in the last days." And if you read right in that period of time in your Bible, they were in the last days. "That the mountain or government of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." And that's what happened when Cornelius finally was converted, all nations. "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We showed you what a friend Luke 24:47 is to everybody. How the Bible says that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in the name of Jesus Christ beginning at Jerusalem. That's what the prophecy says. When you look at Acts 2:5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. I want you to notice, if you will, that Acts 2 makes it plain where they were to make sure that you and I would understand prophecy is being fulfilled. Just like the Holy Spirit said, it's got to have the right foundation. It can't be built upon some man. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, the Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Then I want you to notice it's got to have the right head. When I was in that denominational church, we had a human head located in Cleveland, Tennessee. The Catholics have a human head located in Rome. Our head is in heaven. You want to know where our headquarters is located? In heaven. That's where our headquarters is located. Notice the Bible says, Ephesians 1:22-23, "And it put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about God's wonderful plan. And Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body. Wouldn't you like to know what that body is? Well, look at the verses again. "And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body." And then Paul says there's not but one of those. So there's only one church. Now notice, if you will, it's got to have the right organization. Why, you see all these different conferences and all these different conventions and them making rules and eliminating rules for what governs the church. Listen to what the Bible says. In Philippians 1:1, "Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ, which are..." And by the way, in Christ is to be in his body. To be in his body is to be in church. Notice, "all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi," watch it, here's the right organization, "with the bishops and deacons." Now that's the highest organization on earth there is. The Holy Spirit makes these men overseers according to Acts 20:28 as they meet the qualifications set forth in the Word of God. It's got to have the right plan of salvation. We've already been through that. Nowhere in the Bible was anybody saved by coming to the mourner's bench. Nowhere in the Bible was anybody saved by praying the sinner's prayer, faith only, grace only. None of this stuff in the Bible. But all these man-made churches teaching that. See, we want to get away from man-made doctrines. "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men," Mark 7:7. So we got to get away from that. Notice God's plan of salvation. You hear the word of the Lord. You believe in Jesus. You repent of what Jesus says is wrong. You confess Jesus before men. You're baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, Romans 6:1-6, for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and then you're privileged and obligated to remain faithful to the Lord. But you know what happens after you obey the gospel plan of salvation? The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2:47. Well, notice you got to have the right worship. Preaching, Acts 27. Praying, Acts 2:42. Singing, and notice, not singing and using instrumental music. Every time in the Word of God it's sing, 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 sing. I'm fixing to have a debate on that. A man affirming that you can use mechanical instruments of music. Well, I got a chart I'm going to put up where I'm going to grant it in the Old Testament, and I'm going to put a question mark right on the other side in the New Testament. Where do you find it employed by any inspired man, any church, or endorsed by the God of heaven, the Christ, or the Holy Spirit. See, we've got to have Bible authority, brethren, for what we do. So then, Lord's Supper on the first day of every week, according to Acts 20 and verse 7, given on the first day of every week, and the Greek says that, and we got to understand that this is the right worship. Well, we've got to have the right standard. That's the Word of God. You want to see our creed? I brought our creed tonight in case you want to see it. Right here it is, the Word of God. You want to know what governs the Lord's church on earth? Right here it is. It's the Bible. Now, notice as we look at the right standard, in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now watch this. We had those in days gone by as well as today that say, oh, give me the man. Don't give me the plan. The plan divides. Well, let's look at the verse again. He that rejecteth me, that's the man, and receiveth not my words, that's the plan, hath one, that's the man, that judgeth him, the word, that's the plan, that I, that's the man, have spoken, the same, that's the plan, shall judge him in the last day. You can't have the man without the plan. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6:46. Got to have the right moral code. Oh, you see denominational churches giving up on God's moral code. You know, you got denominational churches that will endorse abortion. They endorse gambling, social drinking. Oh, they're off, way off on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I've gone round and round with them on a rise to truth for over 40 years. Messed up completely. If you take their standard, there is no standard. Divorce and say you're sorry and take off again. And then divorce that woman if you want to, say you're sorry and take off again. Well, there's no law on it. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marrieth another, committeth adultery. You know what that means? Just what it said. That's what you've got to believe. That's what I've got to believe. I'm not going to take the time to read all of these sins because I want to hurry on. But I want you to notice there's adultery, fornication. What constitutes that? Down here's witchcraft. You'd be surprised how many people are getting into that. Some members of the church can't get up without reading their horoscope. Got to find out what kind of day it's going to be. Well, you want to know what kind of day it's going to be? Serve God and it's going to be a wonderful day. That's all you got to realize. Then all these heresies, we got the religious world involved in that completely and so forth. And those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then the right goal. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They told the apostles, don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter and the other apostles said, sorry, we got to obey God rather than men. Now we got our government telling us that a man can marry a man, that a woman can marry a woman. And they'll be coming to Tim, Gary, me, and other preachers down the road. You wait and see. And they'll be wanting us to say the ceremony, and we're going to turn them down. And they're going to file suit. But you know what? We got to obey God rather than men. We got to do it God's way because we love God. And we love the homosexuals. We love the lesbians. That's why we tell them, repent and do what God Almighty says do. Then you got to have the right Savior. Now, boy, this is an important point in the lesson. Watch this. In Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. When the Lord Jesus Christ appears for the second time, you know who it is that's going to be saved? Those in His body. Now, we're talking about responsible people. Those that are outside His body are going to be lost. Well, man-made doctrines and man-made churches, they're outside of Christ. They're not in Christ. There's only one church, not two, not 500, and certainly not 45,000. Now, here's what you got with the true church, the right church. It meets all those identifying characteristics because it has Jesus Christ as the foundation, Jesus as the builder, Jesus Christ as the head of the church, and brother, when life is over and time shall be no more, He's going to be the Savior of that great body. But then let's do some comparisons. False churches, man-made churches. Who's the foundation? Some man that decided he was going to start a church. He's the builder. He's the head. But here's the kicker. Who's going to save that church come judgment day? It's not going to be saved. And all who are in a man-made church will be lost. Why? Because they did not do it God's way. We're here to tell you, you get one shot at this. Just one. You got to get it right, and you got to do it God's way. So Christ is the head of the church. Everybody wants Him as a Savior. But very few people want Him as Lord of their lives. Where He is the head, moves the body the way He wants it to be moved, and takes it in the direction He wants it to go. Luke 6:46, and why call you Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you do not do what the Lord says, then you're not making Him Lord. You know, Christianity is not a thing in the world, but Me taking My will and submitting it unto the will of the Most High God. That's what Christianity is. And if I will not make Him Lord and do what He says, then He's not Lord of my life, Savior of my life. In John 14:15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. I know He loved me. Do you realize that John 10:17-18 says that Christ received a commandment from the Father to die for you and me? He bore His cross. He says, nobody takes My life from Me. I lay it down, and I have power to take it again. You know why? He loved you. He loved me. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Now, do you love Him? And there is a way that you can tell. In John 14:15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Now, watch this. Jesus is not the head of man-made churches. See, these people out there doing what they want to do. Just like in the day of the judges. In Judges 17:6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The Bible says it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. See, you can feel good about a thing and be wrong. Do you realize that when Paul killed Christians and arrested them and persecuted them, he did that with a good conscience? He said so in Acts 23:1. But he was wrong. Now, your conscience and mine must be educated by the Word of God. That's why it says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Can you prove the church you're in is right? Can you prove the plan of salvation they teach is right? Can you prove the organization they've got is right? And on we could go of those things we went through a moment ago. And you're obligated to prove it. Watch what the Bible says. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If I should ask you right now, why are you in the church you're in? Why did you obey the plan of salvation you obeyed? Where did you get it? You got to be able. The Bible puts you in under the obligation. You got to be able to show me. And I got to be able to show you. Or I'm wrong. Now, I got a couple of questions I want to ask you. Then we're going to wind the lesson up. Is the church that you are a member of mentioned in the Bible? If it is, that's one good step. But there's the other identifying characteristics. Number two, does the church you are a member of have all of the identifying characteristics of the one in the Bible? If not, then we ask the question, who's going to save that church? Who? The Lord's not going to. He didn't build it. And the Lord's made it plain, except the Lord build the house, it will not stand. So you better make sure, I better make sure, that we're in the one church mentioned in God's Word. Now watch the plan of salvation again. It's all Jesus Christ centered. You got to hear the words of the Lord. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. That's how faith comes. You got to believe that He's the Son of God. Except you believe that I'm He, you will die in your sins. You got to repent of anything that man says is wrong. Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You got to confess. Confess whom? Jesus Christ before men. He says, if you'll not confess me before men, I'll not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Then you got to be baptized. Where? Into the death of Jesus Christ, where you crucify the old man of sin to rise, to walk in newness of life. And it's right there, according to Acts 2:47, when you're saved, that you're added to the church. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What a privilege to be a part of the Lord's body, a part of the bride, a part of His family, a part of His kingdom, a part of His vineyard, and on we could go. But are you a part of it? Not unless you've done this. If you haven't done it, tonight is the time to do it. If you've done it and you're unfaithful, you need to repent.